BBC Listen. Wow, here I am, plummeting through the air, hurtling towards the Earth at a speed of almost 200 kilometers per hour. Soon, everything will be over. As I reach the end of it all, I can't help but wonder, how did this all come to be? How did I get here? I cast my mind back. It started the way all good stories start, at barbershop quartet rehearsals. My baby bean.
My baby bean.
Oh, amazing work, everyone. Enchanting vocals from all of you.
Thanks, Molly. I had a really fun time today with you all.
You're all the best.
You're the best. Getting a phone call, excusez-moi. Hello, this is award-winning podcaster Molly Daniels. Oh, yes, my inquiry about my birthday party. Yes, that's right, it will be me and five friends. What? What do you mean I can only bring four people? But I have five close friends, Carl and Matt from the award-winning podcast that I do, and then the three other members of my barbershop quartet. There's really nothing you can do? Four guests only. Right. Well, thank you. Oh, man. How am I going to decide which friends to bring to my party? I don't want anyone to miss out, but I don't want to miss out on this opportunity for an awesome party. Today on Short and Curly. Do you have to invite everyone to your birthday party?
Hello, and today you're listening to...
Short, you're listening to Short and Curly.
And Curly.
Yay!
Short and Curly!
Curly, 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 Curly.
Short and Curly!
The next day, I went out to brunch with Carl and Matt like I do every Sunday, and I told them all about my predicament.
Cheers!
Oh, this orange juice is just to die for.
Isn't it? Waiter, three more orange juices, please.
Matt, you're bad. Anyway, that's my birthday party problem. What do we think?
I think it's madness they won't let you bring five guests, Molly.
Absolutely bonkers. What's the party anyway?
Oh, I can't say. It's a surprise. Well, since you two are obviously invited, I don't know what to do about my friends in the barbershop quartet.
Should we pause and, I don't know, do one of our brunch thinking questions?
Best idea ever. You listening can stop the show to mull or chat this over and start again when you're ready.
And so our first brunch thinking question is, what would you do if you had five good friends, but you could only invite four of them to your birthday party?
Hit pause now.
Hey, did you know the Brains Trust hangs out at this cafe too?
True, there they are. Hey, you lot. Five friends, four party invites. What would you do?
I would see if they actually wanted to do it first, but like say it in like a secretive way. And then if I had like the three people already and I still had two people to choose from, I would see if one of them had ever invited me to their birthdays, because then it's kind of like even, because like you invite me to yours, I invite you to mine.
I will probably ask my friends if they're scared of height, and if they are, I can ask my family friends or my cousins if they want to join, because it's like a family celebration where you celebrate each birthday party.
I'd either change the company that can accommodate more people, or I'd just cancel the party and change it to something else.
I would especially bring someone who like helps to hype me up or helps me to overcome a fear or something, just so I can do the skydiving without being nervous.
if they all want to go, and then I would find out like who I've known longer, or even more than that, like who I trust more. But then again, if they're all equal, I would just do a lucky dip. Yeah, it's up to luck to decide if you're going or not.
Matt Flippenbeard, you're the token ethicist of the friendship group. What would you do?
Well, I'd talk a whole lot about the ethics of the problem, of course.
Classic Matt Beard.
Loves a good ethics chat.
Nothing better. Let me ask you a question, Molly. Imagine if the party venue did let you invite five people, but only four of your friends were available on the day of your birthday party. One of them had different plans. Would you still feel bad?
I'd feel sad, but I wouldn't feel as bad. It feels a bit different to my situation.
Great. That's really helpful. So tell me why it feels different.
I'm not sure.
Is it maybe because you didn't know that by choosing that date, you were leaving a friend out? And you didn't have to choose which friend you were leaving out. It feels a bit more random, maybe?
Yeah, that's exactly it. If you can't come to my party, that's sad, but it's not like I said, I don't like you as much. But if I choose not to invite one of the barbershop buddies, it's like I'm telling that person that I like the others more than them.
Ooh, I like how you both figured that out together. Go team. Now, can I ask another question, Molly?
Go ahead.
Do you like two of the barbershop quartet more than the other one?
What? No, of course not.
Gotcha. So your problem is that you like them all equally, and so it really doesn't feel fair to leave someone out, right?
Exactly.
So I'm curious, Molly, why are you holding this party in a place where you can't actually fit all of your friends?
I don't want to give anything away, but it's somewhere I've always wanted to go, and I've been planning it for such a long time.
Yeah, I know what that's like, to be so excited about something that you just can't change your mind, no matter what. But it is also important to remember that part of what you're saying when you do that is, it matters more to me that I have a specific type of party than that all of my friends can come. And you are allowed to make that choice, but your friend is also allowed to be a little bit upset about it.
That is really interesting, Matt. But it's also really not helpful and kind of a bummer.
But there was one helpful thing.
Thank you, Carl.
No. It wasn't anything you said.
Oh, sad face.
Molly, you said you wouldn't feel bad if the date didn't work for one of your friends. So why don't you just at least check whether they're all free or not? Maybe the whole problem will just disappear.
Yes, great idea. Okay, we have to go right now. Matt, you can handle the bill. Thank you.
No, guys, wait. Hey, we got to pay the... Oh, man, every time.
Monsieur, and will you be paying for this?
Oh, I guess I'll be washing the dishes again.
While Matt once again did dishes after over-ordering orange juice, Carl and I came up with an amazing plan. Carl would go find out whether everyone could come to my party. That way, none of them would think I was trying to not invite them. Of course, it was imperative he wore a disguise, so no one knew it was him.
Oh, hello, knock, knock. So sorry to interrupt your beautiful barbershop quartet rehearsals, but I am a mustached researcher from the Clinic of Scientific Research.
Oh, hello.
It's true, I am. Yes, hi. I'm conducting some research about the plans people make and have on the weekends.
That sounds interesting.
Oh, thank you.
I like your moustache.
It's definitely real. Sorry. So, can I ask you all, for my research, do you have any plans next Saturday?
Nope, not me.
Me neither.
So you're all free then?
Yep.
Well, members of a barbershop quartet don't have a bustling social life. Shocking. And if, for instance, someone were to have a party, say, a good friend of yours. But there weren't enough spots for everyone at the party. Would any of you volunteer to just stay home and miss out so everyone else could still go?
Oh, I'd be sad to miss out. Same, I love parties.
Me too. This is really specific research you're doing.
No, it's not. I'm a professional in my field.
Is your moustache falling off? Wait, is it fake?
No, it's real. I've been growing it since I was 14. I gotta get out of here.
Oh, no. He tripped and his pants fell down. Oh, wow. Why does your underwear say property of Carl Smith?
No reason. I really, really got to get out of here. The research will be published in the fall.
Carl told us what happened the next day over another classic brunch.
I'm sorry, Molly, but they're all free and they're all keen. You're going to need to make a tough decision.
Hey, so as an ethicist, I have to point out that it's kind of not great that you disguised yourself and lied to a bunch of innocent people about who you were so you could collect a whole bunch of private information about them.
Oh.
But how can I stay mad when there's all this delicious orange juice to drink? My favy.
Hey, Momo, if it helps you, I can be the one who doesn't come to your party. Would that make your life easier?
What? No. You and Matt are my absolute bestest friends. You both have to come.
Oh, really?
Yes, it goes you two, then the barbershop quartet, Barb and Cordy and Scott Von Schopp.
They're in a barbershop quartet and their names are Barb, Cordy and Scott Von Schopp?
Yeah.
That's such a crazy coincidence.
I don't know why. Anyway, they're my level two friends and you guys are my level one friends.
Hang on, Molly. Did you say level two friends?
Uh-huh. You know, they're like your friends, but they're not like your total besties.
But I thought you didn't want your barbershop friends to think that you liked some friends more than others.
Well, yeah, but only between them. I like all three of them equally, but not as much as I like the two of you. You get that, right?
Oh, I do, but I also wonder whether it's helpful. It seems like you're treating your friends as if they have to come as a group, instead of thinking about them as individuals. Maybe instead of asking, which of these three people from the same group should I invite, you could try thinking about each individual and thinking about what they mean to you.
Thinking about them as individuals. There's an idea. If I can decide which individual member of the barbershop quartet I like the most, and then the person to whom I'm the least close, that's the one I won't invite. That seems fair, right?
Sounds like a plan to me. Let's cheers our orange juices.
Wait, no, hold on, Molly. There's something else you need to... Oh. Oh dear. Oh, I gotta stop drinking orange juice. I'm drinking way too much, and it's hurting my tum, and I gotta go wheeze all the time. It's becoming a real problem.
How about another brunch time thinking question? Let's pause the show again to mull it over. Do you rank your friends? And if so, how do you work it out?
Hit pause now.
Okay, I'm going to get serious about this. What do I really think about my barbershop buddies? Barb is the funny one.
Yeah, you're always saying she makes you laugh so hard that you need your inhaler.
So I said, take that horse back to the rodeo.
And then you're always talking about how Cordy is so smart.
They are so smart. I can always talk to them about books and articles and culture.
The opera tonight was just outstanding. Powerful enough to take my mind off the gripping short story collection I've been reading.
And then Scott Von Schopp is your go-to for heartfelt conversations.
I can literally talk to Scott Von Schopp about anything. Scott, I've just been feeling so down lately. I spilled nail polish remover on my carpet and now my bedroom smells like nail polish remover and it sucks.
You are so amazing and brave for sharing that with me. Let it out. I'm here to listen and support you.
Wow. Okay, they all sound great in different ways. In fact, dare I say, they make a perfect harmony in your life.
Yes, they are great and all in different ways. Oh, I don't know how to choose.
Hey, back from going to the toilet for the 40th time this brunch.
I think you're right, Matt. You don't need any more orange juices.
Wait, orange juice? Waiter, more orange juice, please.
Okay, then.
Matt, all my friends provide me with different things. I can't rank that.
That's what I was going to tell you. Relationships aren't things. They can't be compared and traded the way that objects can. In fact, some philosophers think relationships are the most important thing there is. These philosophers are called care ethicists, and they think about relationships a lot.
Ooh, this sounds promising.
Yeah, you've been holding out on me. Give me this good care ethics stuff.
Well, care ethicists tell us that one of the most important things that you can do, ethically, is to care for the people that you're in a relationship with. And that means paying attention to what they need, listening to them, and doing our best to stay connected to them.
Okay, but that's just kind of common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, you might think so. But it's not something that ethicists had talked about much. They'd kind of thought about ethics in terms of rights and duties and consequences. Before care ethics, they would have thought about your problem like this. One, does Molly have to invite all her friends to her party? No. Two, do any of Molly's friends have a right to be invited to her party? No. Three, so should Molly change the date of her party to make sure all her friends can come? No.
But I already know all that. The problem is, I don't know who not to invite.
And that's where the idea of care can help. If you think about your relationship to each of these people, as well as to Carl and I, you might realise that we each kind of need different things from our friendship with you. Maybe some of your friends would be okay not being invited, and maybe some others would be totally devastated.
So, maybe instead of thinking about which friends I like best, I should think about which friends would be most upset if they weren't invited.
Oh, I know I said it was fine before, but I would be so upset. Please don't uninvite me, Molly. My heart would break into 1,000 tiny gooey, oozy pieces.
Ew, why gooey and oozy?
Well, I mean, the heart is an organ, so I'm just guessing it would have fallen out of my chest along with a bunch of blood and guts and stuff, so...
Ew! Carl! One more word and you're off the party list.
My heart!
Caring for the people around us means thinking about what makes them unique, what they specifically need from us, and what we can do to help them to get what they need. So even if you do have to leave someone out, maybe the question to ask is, how can I still care for a friend who isn't going to be invited to my party? In fact, why don't we have one last thinking question to tackle this? Here it is. Imagine you're the friend who Molly doesn't invite. What would you want Molly to do to help make you feel cared for, even though you're not going to the party?
Hit pause now.
Well, I know our brains trust have been to lots of birthday parties, but they've also been left out of some. So, have they got any advice for us?
I would want her to be, like, upset about it. Like, so I would feel the way that she's feeling when she had to do that. But I wouldn't mind as much because after I hear her reasons, it's considerable.
If I was the person who was inviting everyone and I couldn't invite just the one person, personally, I would want to tell them myself. I wouldn't want anyone else to tell them. So then, like, maybe what I would do was that I would, like, sit down with them and explain to them why I couldn't, and then say, like, next year you're, like, top priority on my list that you have to come, even if I have to not invite one of the other friends. But, like, instead, you could, like, go out together, or you could, like, go to the mall together or go see a movie together. So I still know that, like, she's not, like, trying to end a friendship by not inviting me.
Maybe just during class time or whenever you can, not leaving that person out again, just so they actually feel, I mean, me, just so I don't actually feel that I'm being left out and feel that they didn't mean to leave me out.
I would still get them a gift because it is their birthday. It is kind of my duty to give them something. It's not their fault that Like, they're not inviting me to skydiving. But then, like, if I was the only one, like, not going, I would feel a bit sad. But then I would like having just one-on-one time just to talk about it or, like, hang out together.
All these big thoughts got me, well, thinking. Scott and I have a friendship that is all about our conversations with each other. But it's hard to get into a heartfelt chat at a busy birthday party surrounded by other people. In fact, Scott doesn't even like big crowds. Realizing that, I called him. Which is why, Scott, I'd like to go get dinner with you one-on-one to celebrate my birthday. Is that okay?
Molly, that sounds lovely. I mean, honestly, I am a bit disappointed I won't be going to your party, but I appreciate you being so transparent. And dinner is more us anyway.
Oh my gosh, I appreciate you so much.
No, I appreciate you so much.
But he was lying. He was so angry at me, he kidnapped me, put me in a plane, and then pushed me out of that plane. Just kidding! My skydiving party is the best!
Woohoo! Happy birthday, Molly! Ah!
Woohoo! I'm flying like a penguin!
Look at you go, Carl!
Somersault!
Happy birthday! Ah!
Matt, are you drinking a bottle of orange juice while skydiving?
Yeah, I'm so bad.
Hey, let's all open our parachutes on the count of three!
One, two, three!
This is amazing!
Oh, and there's our executive producer, Sophie Townsend, and our creator and producer, Kyla Slaven. She's waving. They all look like ants from up here.
I'm totally freaking out right now!
I can see Westmead Public School. That's where our Brains Trust is from.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's Adit, Kenny, Ryan, Penny Edis, Sarah, Miriam, and Alina. Hi, everyone!
And hey, thanks so much to our voice actors today, too. Candace Docker, Jonathan Webb, and Maggie Morris.
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you.
ABC Listen.
Hey, Curly Crew. If you thought it was cool when I jumped out of a plane, then you'll love the story of Jade Hermeister, the girl who skied to the top and bottom of the world. Or the unbelievable story of Marianne Bugg, who used her brains and beauty to become a bush ranger and spy. Fierce Girls tells the stories of these incredible women and so many more. It's available now. You can hear Fierce Girls on the ABC Listen app.